Exactly, she has to be high.
Paper 15, she is there. Yeah, it's the research on discount, okay. On discount rates. Paper 15.
Either way, we recognize you.
Okay, good.
So please go ahead.
Okay, so why did I do this to you, and why did I make you sit around the table at the end of the exhausting board week? Well, the reason is that we have this agenda paper 15, which is about discount rates research, and the reason we have it is because we might have a financial reporting problem that we need to solve, but we actually at this stage don't know if we have a problem or not. So we use discount rates and measurements all the time. Different standards prescribe different discount rates to be used. And as a part of our agenda consultation in 2011, we had 47 comment letters which said that our requirements for discount rates are not well understood and they give rise to inconsistencies and problems, and that the ISB should do something about this. So this paper here and me sitting here in front of you is us doing something about it. And what we are doing is doing research to find out if there is a problem that then you would need to address in a project. So what this paper 15 does is basically sets out the proposed approach to doing this research to find out if there is a financial reporting problem. So the paper has a number of sections. It talks about objective and the scope of research that we propose. It talks about the research methodology. It talks about the outputs and the resources and timing. I'm really not going to go through all of the sections of the paper in detail now. I just wanted to draw your attention to one paragraph, which is paragraph 29 in the paper. And here we basically include a list of, I call the discount rate aspects that we propose to consider as a part of this research. And this is something I like you to comment on if you think you disagree or you like to add on it. So the things we like to consider are first the measurement objectives. So measurement objectives in any standard that uses discount rate. And the purpose of this would not be to say we think the measurement objective is not right. Rather, the purpose of this would be just to see if measurement objective is stated as the same in different standards, does this translate to the same discount rate being used? So it is only consistency in how this measurement objective is applied when we talk about discount rates. The next, Mary, did you want to interject? Okay, so the next component we wanted to consider is what components of discount rate we include in particular measurements. So when I say components of discount rate, I mean things like what we usually refer to as a risk-free rate, and then a number of other risks which are or are not included in different measurements that we use. Then we propose to also review measurement methodology, which is basically the level of detail the particular standard provides in explaining how to arrive at a discount rate. And this would also include review of how prescriptive the standard is in methodology, because some standards say you can use either pre-tax or post-tax rate, some say you have to use it certain, some say you can go top-down, bottom-up, some are silent about this. So this is a part of our proposed methodology review. Then we also think we should look at disclosure requirements related to discount rates, but I think as a part of this project this would be really a brief review, and anything we find there, I would propose that we just feed into the disclosure initiative as a part of their work rather than try to address it as a part of this project. And finally, we also propose to look at definitions and terms that are used and their consistency. And we have already started doing this work by looking at how we use the term time value of money in different standards. So the rest of the paper talks about that we propose to do this work as a desktop study primarily, and we propose to publish a research paper and using resources which is half of my time. And we think if we accept the scope as laid out in this paper that we can draft the research paper already by the end of this year. So with that, I just leave it open for questions.
Mary?
I think it's right to have limited, you know, focused ambitions for this project. And I think it's important your point about not trying to evaluate, you know, whether it's the right measurement objective. But I think, and so agree with that, but might want to constrain it even a bit further. I think I would characterize this as inventorying whether there's a consistent or inconsistent understanding of our requirements for discount rates. We're not trying to evaluate whether we are specifying the correct rate for what the overall measurement objective may be, because I think then we'll start getting into looking at, well, should it be pre or post-tax? I think you're asking the question of, is it clear whether it's pre or post-tax that's supposed to be used? So I think the inventory is the right focus. I think analyzing whether there's consistent wording. You know, if we mean the same thing in two places, do we use the same words? And even when the words are consistent, I think the extent to which it's external interviews, et cetera, it should be, even when the wording is consistent, is there a consistent understanding and practice of what it is we're requiring? Or is it so high level that people then put different spins on consistent wording? So that, I think those are the right things. It wasn't entirely clear when you said selection of interviews, if those had the kind of the risk of starting to get into, do you think that the pre-tax risk-free rate is the right rate if this is our objective? Do you think that high-quality corporate bond is a good proxy for X? And I, my sense is you don't want to get into those, is it the right ones? And if my understanding is correct, I support you in that. The last thing I'll throw in, just as the totality of my comments here on this paper, is I don't think I saw talking to securities regulators as one of the possible groups to talk to, because I think if we're worried about consistency in application, that's probably a good source in terms of whether what they're seeing and if their experiences are consistent. I've just looked at a couple places where it said stakeholders. I might have missed it once.
If I can just comment before, yeah. I mean, thank you very much for that. I think I do mention them, but it's irrelevant. I take your point. I just want to clarify this. Is a consistent understanding of how terms are used in practice is something we are striving to achieve, but I just want us to be realistic, because in order to properly understand this, I think I would need to do far, far more outreach and perhaps do even something like a press for information in order for us to have some, be sure to some extent that this is the case. So I did talk about it and evidence of inconsistency and, the things that you have mentioned, but the way I saw this initial stage of research is primarily desktop review, starting with what our requirements say, with some limited evidence from what you suggested, talking to regulators or looking maybe at some of their decisions, and then publish a research paper possibly. And then if we see there are narrower areas as a part of this that we want to explore further, then maybe do more focused outreach or field work to gather evidence for those areas, because otherwise I'm concerned if I start looking at every single term and how is it understood in practice, I might just be doing this for 2 years and then the end result would be actually there is nothing we want to do about this, there's no problems. So this was my thinking, but of course challenge me if you think this is not the right.
Let me put it this way, I think getting an understanding of whether there's consistency of understanding and practice is the outer limits of how, you know, of how far it should go, not that you must achieve that in order to be successful.
Sure. Oh, thanks. I agree with Mary's comments on scope, and then I just wanted to clarify one thing in terms of what you mean. Mm-hmm. So at the moment we're balloting IFRS 9, and we have also spent many hours deciding how to describe time value of money and also what the sort of credit piece of the interest rate means in IFRS 9. So I'm hoping that this paper doesn't suggest that we're already proposing to change the words or review the words in IFRS 9, but rather that we make sure that things that come afterwards are consistent with what's in IFRS 9.
I'm so glad you mentioned that too, because I wanted to make sure we mention existing projects, and I think this is equally important, if not more important, part of this research. And this is in parallel with reviewing existing requirements, I have been looking at the drafting and board papers and working with the teams, not just in IFRS 9, but also leases insurance, where we look at discount rates. And, you know, my hope is that in this process, that anything we learn as a part of review or any potential inconsistency or issues we can see, we can resolve it before standards are issued. And my intention with the research paper is that paper would simply report on the work that has been done with the teams. I know IFRS 9 is kind of, we can't change any words at the moment, and so, but I don't envisage the paper saying anything like you say.
Can I ask a question on the issue of scope? Will your paper deal with any justification for the differences in the way the discount rate is determined or applied?
Well, I would put it as explanation of differences, and this is why my starting point when I referred you back to paragraph 29 was that we would look at measurement objectives. I know that's a bit of a tall order, because in many standards we're actually not as explicit as to what the measurement objective is, but I think that would be a starting point, and, you know, from there try to derive, okay, you know, the boards had different objectives in mind when doing these different standards, and therefore, you know, it makes sense to use different discount rates. But I can already see in some, maybe we can discuss and say, did they actually have the same thing in mind, but just because one standard was issued many years before the other, some things were not spelled out there. And, you know, and even if we find things like that, I would say you can consider, does it cause a problem to people in practice? And if it doesn't, you might decide you just, you know, don't do anything about it.
The reason I raise it is I think in order to, for this to be actionable research, you at least have to have an inventory of all those reasons why we justify different uses, as opposed to not having that at your fingertips. You may or may not decide to do anything different in the future, but if you don't know why you justify the different rationale in insurance versus IS 37 versus IFRS 9, it kind of leaves us, I think, still in the dark when we're going forward with a new project.
I mean, that's the measurement objective, I think. But
The idea is to document those things, and my sense is that we're not that inconsistent, to be honest.
Okay.
That we have clear different objectives. So can I just go back just a point, Sue? When the early draft of this paper, this is several months ago, we started drafting this paper, and so the discussions with the teams affect mainly the EDs that we're putting together at the moment. So we've actually it understates in a way the effect you've had, because we actually have people together looking at the way they're drafting and expressing the disclosure requirements. We don't anticipate at all that we would sit there and say, well, just a minute, you know, don't print this because we're going to change everything in IFRS 9 or even review it in 3 months' time or 4 months' time or anything like that. The discussions have taken place already in terms of the teams to make sure we understand how the wording's been drafted. So,
but we are continuing these discussions to make it clear, especially in leases and
the
insurance.
With the other projects, the ongoing projects. And those things will come back to you as well, because they'll come back to through the board papers and so on. But we're discussing with the teams, drafting consistencies to make sure that we actually get, if we have what we think is the same objective in the same term, that we actually express it in the same way if we can. And if there's a difference, we understand why we have a difference. That it's mainly affecting the insurance and leases and other projects that have yet to reach that threshold.
Philippe, I agree with everything which is proposed in this paper. I have only one practical suggestion regarding the methodology. in paragraph 38, where you seek to get input from regulators, enforcers, I think that instead of trying to find evidence in reviewing regulatory documents where you may not find much, it would be more efficient and it would fall, I think, within the MOUs that we have with ESMA and IOSCO to ask them for informal input into what they think.
Yeah,
because I think they do review a lot of things, but that doesn't always translate into public documents. So I think we have a very good working relationship with ESMA, the Enforcers Coordination Sessions, with IOSCO, Subcommittee on Accounting. It is the right place to ask them to provide their views and inputs, so rather than trying to find out from documents.
Comment on relate to paragraph 50C3. The possible the following actions, mm-hmm. and one that one is publish it as a standalone standard. I think based on the discussion among Sue, Alan, and the AIDA, I don't expect will be such a scenario. You know, fair value management guidance is so clear. You know, the 13 will not provide, it will not, you know, tell you when measure at fair value, but only tell you how to measure. And, but in this case, you know, I think it's very hard, you know, to finalize something in the longer future, a standalone standard related to how the discount rate, I feel hard.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, in terms of the biggest thing we can do, that's the biggest, and it doesn't look very likely. I put it there to be responsive because there were a couple of comments in the agenda consultation that gave this suggestion, so I just laid it out as one of the options, but yes, I agree.
Okay, Aida, you heard some useful suggestions, I think, and we ask you to continue with the job.
Thank you.
This then really brings us to the end of our board meeting. We will be back here at 4:15 to say goodbye to two departing members. I'm not sure if it's a sad or a joyous occasion. Sad, I think.
Maybe
a happy day.
Yeah, it depends on who you are, I suppose.
Anytime there's a party, it's a happy day.